There was a term I used to hear more often years ago called an elevator pitch. And it may have been because I used to work in a building that had an elevator. But I looked it up today just to see if, see how old I am. And it said there's more effective ways to communicate than to do the elevator pitch. But for those of you who don't know what that is, it's you have something you're trying to convey to somebody either about yourself or about an idea that you had, and you have the duration of the ride in the elevator to get that point across. Nowadays, I frequently hear the 20,000 foot view to get the big picture. It got me to thinking, if we had someone who was thinking about spiritual matters and we had one opportunity and one short amount of time to discuss with them, what would our topic be? Would we go back to Genesis 1:1, the creation? Would we talk about how most civilizations have a story about the flood? Sadly for me, for the longest time, my soapbox was, you know, Christmas isn't in the Bible, right? And that's kind of silly because I only know of two people that I ever worked on, my wife and me. So I have discussed this with people over the years, and there are two times of year, Christmas and Easter, when we have this opportunity to have this discussion with someone. And I'll tell you, you can be saved without knowing that Christmas is not in the Bible, but you can't be saved without the gospel. So what you would want to share with somebody is the gospel. Now, I don't know what grade I was in when I learned this, but at some point in a writing class, you learn about the five W's and the honorary W, the H at the end. Who, what, where, why, when, and how. And I'm going to approach this in that order because that's the order that I memorized it in. It might make sense to be in a different order than that, but we will see where we end up. So the who of the gospel is, who needs the gospel? Of course, the short answer is everyone needs the gospel. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall have everlasting life." Whosoever is everyone. We sing that song every once in a while, "Whosoever surely meaneth me." Whosoever would include everybody. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." If no one can get to the Father except through Jesus, it would follow that everyone needs Christ to get to the Father. Mark 16:15, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," to everyone. A verse we frequently refer to as the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So there are people all over the planet that have never known God, who have never heard the gospel. But there's another group that I think in our circles of friends we are more commonly coming in contact with. And that's the group that has heard the gospel and thinks they have laid hold of it, yet they lack certain aspects of the truth. There is only one doctrine. Jesus says in Matthew on the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." What is the gospel? You've probably heard it in several sermons over your lifetime, that the gospel is the good news. It is the life, the ministry, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1 starts out with a genealogy that traces from Abraham through Jesus, and I believe in Luke chapter 3, it goes from Jesus backwards to Adam to lay the foundation of the messianic prophecies throughout the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and by the 12." What else is the gospel? The gospel offers salvation. Romans 1, verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone, the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is found in Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give to you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9, 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In Matthew, the first chapter, it talks about the fulfillment of that prophecy, verses 22 and 23. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated is God with us. Where do you find the gospel? Certainly you find it in an assembly of people like this. You find it in this church building. You find it in the hearts of Christians everywhere. But it gets there because it's in the Bible. John 1, 1 through 5, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." In Acts, the second chapter, Peter says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and in his tomb, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Where does the gospel come from? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And Galatians chapter 1 tells us there is just one gospel. "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." After someone lays hold of where the gospel is, when does someone respond? When he or she understands and has faith that Jesus is the Son of God. It's not monthly, it's not quarterly, it's not the end of each month we're going to go down to the river and everybody who's been saved is going to be baptized. It's immediately. Again, Peter speaking in Acts chapter 2, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And later on in that chapter of Acts, it explains how the Lord added 3,000 that day. It wasn't over a period of weeks. It was when they received the word, they immediately responded. In Acts chapter 8, in verse 12, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." The account of the Ethiopian eunuch near the end in 36 and 37, "Now as they went down the road, they came upon some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, You may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now we know a few things from that passage. He met the eunuch and he picked up preaching in Isaiah where he had been reading. So from that point to the water, he must have explained to him the good news of the gospel of Christ and the conditions whereby you enter into his church. When Paul was recounting his conversion in Acts chapter 22, he says, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord. The account of Cornelius and his household in Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 47. Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay for a few days. In Acts chapter 16, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. This is when someone responds through obedience. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So someone might have the question, why? Why do I need this gospel that you speak of? We could go back to Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man, where the serpent deceives Eve. She shares with Adam. And then God tells him there will be enmity between the serpent and the seed of woman. And here there's a lot of finger pointing. The Eve blames the serpent. And essentially Adam blames God because he says, this woman that you gave me. Have you ever... you ever had a kid tell you that something went wrong because you decided to have kids? Getting off on a tangent here, but sometimes they'll say, you know, that wouldn't have broke, but somebody wanted to have kids. In Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. In Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That encompasses the why. That's the five W's. So we get to the H, how. How does one respond to the gospel and enter into the Lord's church? First, an individual must hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Once you've heard that, you must believe what you had been taught. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Once you believe, you must repent, turn from your old ways. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. After you turn from your old sinful ways, you must confess Jesus as the Christ, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Then you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. As Peter told them in Acts chapter 2:38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you come up out of that water, you must live faithfully and be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. There's anyone here who has not followed the how of becoming a Christian, we would like nothing more than to help you this evening. If you're somebody who has followed these steps and the troubles of the world have gotten in your way and you're not living the way you think you ought, or if you just need the prayers of this congregation, please come while together we stand and sing.